Now we have mentioned here seven unities that we are to keep. Will you notice them? He says, ye are one body, and there is one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's over all, through all, and in all. Now, one body is the body of believers. It began on the day of Pentecost to the parousia, to the rapture. One spirit is the Holy Spirit that baptizes us into the body. One hope of your calling, that one hope is the blessed hope. We have no other hope. One Lord refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, his lordship over believers. The fifth is one faith. That refers to the body of truth called the apostles' doctrine in Acts 2:42. And the sixth, one baptism, refers to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, real baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ritual baptism is by water. Then seven, one God and Father of all. That refers to God's fatherhood of believers. Since there's only one Father, he's not the father of unbelievers. The unity of believers produces a sharp distinction between believers and non-believers. He's the Father of all who are his by regeneration. He's over all, through all, and in all. Means that God is both immanent and he's transcendent. This is a marvelous section of the Word of God, as you can see. Now, friends, you can get so involved in that. We have been talking about the church, which is the body of Christ, and that the head is in heaven. We're joined to him. The church is a body. The church is a new man. The church is a mystery. All of this heading up in the person of Christ, yonder at God's right hand. As someone has said, you can be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good at all. And a great many people get carried away with that to the extent they don't realize that we're to walk down here in a very bad world, very mean world, and that is where the rubber meets the road. We're now getting down to the nitty-gritty. Paul said, how we're to walk. Now, walking is down here, and that's what the body is to do. We saw first the exhibition of the body. And he spoke to the individual, how the individual is to walk in lowliness, meekness. And then he widened it out to the church. There is one body, one spirit. And then he consummated it with a great, tremendous crescendo. And he said, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. Now, when he says he's above all, we're speaking there, actually, about the transcendence of God. God is transcendent. He's above his creation. He is not dependent upon it. The Lord doesn't depend on oxygen, you know, to get by. He doesn't have to bring up some supplies from the rear. He doesn't do Saturday shopping in order to have food for the weekend. He's not dependent upon his creation. He is transcendent. He is not only above all, but he's through all. And that means this universe you and I live in, he's in it. And he's in you all. And he's motivating it and moving it according to his plan and purpose. And that, you know, adds meaning to life today. It makes it sort of worthwhile. It gets a little humdrum every now and then, doesn't it? There is a monotony. Now, I love to make these tapes. But you know, after I've been in this study here every day for about 10 days, making two and three tapes at a time, I'll let you in on something, and I hope you won't tell anybody about it. And that is, it does get monotonous, you know, get weary and that sort of thing. But, oh, there comes in that great thought, all of this is in the plan and purpose of God. And then I feel like singing the doxology or the hallelujah chorus, and when I do, everybody moves out of earshot. But I sure hope the Lord listens, because he said it's to come from the heart, making melody in your heart. And evidently, that's where I make it, because when it comes out the mouth, there's no melody there. I always think of the experience we had, because this, to me, is like a great symphony orchestra that's presented to us here. And you and I are to walk in step with God. We are to walk with the music of heaven today. And it's like a great symphony orchestra. I like to illustrate like this. When I first went to Nashville as pastor, some friends there invited me to go with them to hear a symphony orchestra. They bought a ticket for me, they said, and they wanted me to go. Well, now they thought they were doing me a favor. But, you know, there are other things that I'd rather do than go and listen to a symphony orchestra. And I recognize that I'm a real peasant when it comes to music. I don't understand it at all. But, you know, I got a great message there that day. I went with them, and I sat down. We got there a little early, and there was quite a stir in the auditorium as people were coming in. Then lights went on the platform, or the stage, I guess I should say, and I noticed all those instruments that were out there, and then it looked to me like over 100 men came out from all sides, all the different wings, and they came each one to his own instrument. I guess they did. Didn't sound like it. I was told that was tuning up, and each one played his own little tune, and I give you my word, you have never heard anything that was medley. Nothing that was melody there. In fact, it sounded to me like this rock music, even that orchestra way back yonder. And it was terrible. And very frankly, why, they quit after a few moments, which we were very thankful, and then they disappeared again in the wings. And then when the time came, the floodlights came on, footlights, I think they call them, they came on, and then these men came out again, but this time they were different. Before, they were in their shirt sleeves. This time, they were in full dress. I tell you, they had a bow tie, beautiful white shirts on. Oh, they were very nice. And each one came to his instrument, but no man dared play it. And then the spotlight went on one of the wings to our right. And there stepped out the director, and he bowed, and there was thunderous applause, and he bowed several times. Then he came over to the podium, and he picked up a little thin stick, and he turned around, bowed again, but applauded. Then he turned his back to the audience there, and he lifted that little baton, and when he did, you could have heard a pin drop in that auditorium. And then he came down with that little stick, and he sure got a lot of music out of that little stick. You have never heard anything that was as thrilling. It made goose pimples on you. My hair stood on end. It really was thrilling to hear that first tremendous number. And as I sat there, because after a while it got a little boring, I began to think about that. And, you know, that's the picture of this universe. You and I are living today in a world where every person is playing his own little tune. This group is carrying his little placard, and he's protesting against something. He's against everybody else. And everybody seems to be out of tune, out of harmony with everybody else. And it doesn't look very good in the world today. And you wonder what the outcome's going to be. Well, it's very pessimistic as you look toward and listen to some. And you look toward the situation today. I tell you, I can understand why Simon Peter began to sink in that ocean. And you see the waves around you today, you think this is it. But friends, one of these days, there's going to step out from the wings of this universe, from God's right hand, the director. He's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he does, he'll lift the baton, he's going to lift the scepter in nail-pierced hands. And when he does, everything is going to be in tune. He's imminent, and he's transcendent. What a tremendous thing. He's above all, through all, and in you all. So don't give up. The director's coming and get us all in tune.